WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Richmond police again use tear gas against protesters for racial justice. A Lynchburg Republican says the governor is misusing his executive powers during the pandemic. And as the virus crisis wears on, frustrations mount over the state agency everyone loves to hate, even in normal times, the DMV. This is the WMRA Daily from Monday, July 27th. In Richmond, Saturday night, a city dump truck was set on fire and some buildings were damaged as protesters faced off with police. Protesters say they were acting in support of those demonstrating for racial justice on the other side of the country in Portland, Oregon. Virginia State Police and Richmond Police said they worked to clear the crowd of several hundred demonstrators late Saturday that they say had ripped down police tape and moved forward with lasers and firecrackers. City police declared an unlawful assembly around 11 p.m. and what appeared to be tear gas was deployed to disperse the group. Richmond police said Sunday that six men among the protesters were arrested and face various charges, including unlawful assembly, rioting with a firearm, and assault on a law enforcement officer. The police use of CS, or tear gas, in U.S. cities is legal, even though the U.S. and most other countries have banned its use on the battlefield. A state panel voted unanimously last week to recommend removal of a different statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, a different one than the one that everybody's been talking about in Richmond. This one in the U.S. Capitol, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopane reports.
Each state gets to choose two statues to stand at the U.S. Capitol in D.C. Virginia's are of George Washington and Robert E. Lee. U.S. Capitol tour guide Jessica Jackson told a state panel Friday the statues tell a story to Capitol visitors.
When we move through the halls of Congress and we are able to tell the story to the people that immortalized in bronze and marble, we find that it is controversial having statues that are of Confederates.
After the virtual unanimous vote, State Senator Louise Lucas said her soul was happy. Delegate Jawan Ward said it's time to replace the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee with someone all Virginians can be proud of.
As a Black woman, how can I talk to my grandchildren and tell them this man that we hold in high esteem, he actually fought to keep our family enslaved?
The State Commission will soon send a formal request for removal to the Library of Congress and then start talks on an alternative statue to represent Virginia at the nation's capital. I'm Mallory Nopane.
A top Republican in Virginia's Senate says Governor Ralph Northam is misusing his executive powers. Senator Steve Newman of Lynchburg says the existing law was not designed to handle long-term crises like the pandemic.
Really, it does not anticipate that all of that entire body of work can be dismissed by a press conference where you tell someone the details on how they can go ice skating or how they can live detailed portions of their lives.
Newman is proposing a bill that would cap a governor's executive orders at 60 days. Right now, they can last over a year, depending on when they're announced, unless lawmakers decide to intervene. Spokesman for Northam said emergencies require a swift and flexible response and called Newman's bill, quote, a bad idea. Virginia Senator Mark Warner is leading a push to implement the Ashanti Alert system nationwide. Warner sent a letter to state governors last week encouraging them to incorporate the alert within established statewide alert systems. The Ashanti Alert law is named after Ashanti Billy, a 19-year-old Virginia Beach woman who was found dead 11 days after being abducted in 2017. At the time, Billy was too old for an amber alert and too young for a silver alert. The Ashanti alert would cover missing or endangered persons between 18 and 64 years old. According to Warner's office, $1 million in federal funding is available for states to implement the program. Finally today, before the pandemic, the Department of Vehicles was the poster child for a slow-moving bureaucracy. And now with the pandemic changing the way the DMV does business, frustrations are mounting even more. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Remember waiting in those long lines at the DMV? finally making your way into the waiting room and then waiting around for your number to be called? Well, forget about that. In the age of COVID, the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles has moved to an appointment-only model in a limited number of locations, and getting an appointment can take more than a month.
When you're trying to sell a vehicle and you have a buyer available, you can't just take their cash and not give them a title.
Christine Cunningham of Bedford. After a long and frustrating experience, she finally got an appointment 40 miles away in late August.
We can't just say we're going to take our money elsewhere. We're going to go to a different DMV. We're going to go to a different business. It gives us a very powerless feeling, and it's very frustrating.
DMV Commissioner Richard Holcomb says offices are reopening. And he says most of them are now up and running. So he says that should help out with the lag time. He also says the appointment-only system is here to stay indefinitely.
Gone are the days where we would invite a customer and 200 of their best friends into a lobby, ask them to sit shoulder to shoulder, waiting a couple of hours to be called to the window to do a transaction.
Holcomb says before you make an appointment, make sure the transaction can't be done online. Also, he says many people end up making multiple appointments, sometimes at multiple locations, then appear at only one and leave the others on the schedule, clogging up the system. I'm Michael Boop.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Friday.